Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to joining you every single day to hopefully bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's word, and even heighten your awareness of his very real presence in your life. You know, we all know Jesus commands us to disciple others, but how are we supposed to do that in our everyday lives? What does that look like? Can any believer do it? Does the process of discipleship look different on each of us based on our unique personalities and gift sets? Well, these are some of the questions we'll answer today. My guest is Candy Gallaty, and the title of her book is Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and Wonder of God's Word to Invest in Women. Now, guys, don't go away. I believe there's something for you here as well, so hang in there with us. A quick announcement. I want you to plan on joining us for the upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. If you have any desire, aspiration to get published, to take the first steps in writing, this is the way to go. I'll be on the faculty. I want so much to meet you face-to-face. Registrations are open. And the reason we're talking about it now, even though the conference is in July, is because there's a limited number of one-on-one appointments. And that's when you get to meet with an editor, an agent, an expert, and get your real questions answered, maybe pitch an idea. The information is both on our website, myfaithradio.com, and on the conference website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. I'm telling you, it's an A-level, A-list conference. I hope you'll join us. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Candy Gallaty is a pastor's wife, mother of two precious sons, speaker and a writer devoted to making disciples by cultivating a passion in women for God's word. She and her husband, Robbie, co-authored Foundations, and together they lead Replicate Ministries, a ministry that educates, equips, and empowers believers to make disciples who make disciples. Candy, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Looking forward to the conversation as well. And we like to start every day talking scripture, Candy. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering hanging around these days that you can share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So my life verse is Proverbs 4:23, which says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. And that was, I think I memorized it in maybe the New Living Translation years and years ago. And so in different translations, it's worded differently. But I always felt like before I was following the Lord, I made a lot of bad decisions, poor decisions, and most of it stemmed from an emotion that I felt. And so when I came across that in the Lord's word one day early on in my Christian life, I thought that was my problem. My problem was my heart at the time. And, you know, God had placed a new heart within me, and how was I going to guard that? And also the heart being the mind as well. To the deep seat of where we make all of our decisions and our emotions come from. I wanted to know how to guard that so that I didn't make any of those mistakes in the future. And so that's always been my verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do.
Fantastic. And you could do a whole show on that verse. It's such a powerful one. Well, okay, so as a former spin instructor, I loved you that you compared discipleship to taking a spinning class. So first of all, for those who think when they think spinning, they may think we're twirling around and getting dizzy. It's not that. Explain what a spinning class is and how you found the connection to discipleship.
Yeah, so I mean, you're cycling, so it's a form of cardio. And for me, it's a great way to work out. And I just was literally sitting in the spin class one day, and all of these, you know, at our particular studio, the lights on the bike would change. And as it would change as you progress, and you wanted to stay in a certain zone for that most of the class, or it either meant you weren't doing quite enough, or you were maybe even doing it a little too hard and you can't sustain that. And I just remembered thinking that is just like our Christian life. Like, we need to be in this steady mode of growth and not falling too far behind where it's like we're not really doing anything and having any growth. But then we know we don't live on those mountaintop highs every day of our life. So how do we have this steady ride in our life as we seek to follow the Lord and as we grow closer to him? And that's it just came to me when I was in cycle class at spin one day. And I thought, man, Lord, this is really good. Like, you're teaching me through my cycle class.
I love it. As a former fitness person, I couldn't help it. I just thought, you got to talk about that. But when did you first, Candy, feel the sense or the call specifically, not only to discipleship, but to really be all in and become a discipler of disciples?
I feel like, you know, when I became, when the Lord revealed himself to me and just, you know, saved me and forgave me from so much junk, I really believe I had been forgiven of so many things that I really couldn't help but share what had happened and want to help people not make some of those same choices. And, it, you know, Luke 7:47 says, those who are forgiven much love much. And that was truly how I felt. And so it really started with this just passion and desire to help other women as they were walking through life and as they were being a parent or as they were being a daughter or however it looked, and helping them. And I don't think I realized at the time that that's what I was doing, that I was investing in others and that that was an element of discipleship. And it wasn't until Robbie and I met, my husband, and we really started to study and understand what discipleship and biblical discipleship looks like, that we that I realized, hey, that's what I've kind of been doing, but it has obviously changed and been tweaked kind of over the years to really the process that is talked about in the book.
Okay, so before we get going, you say in order to disciple others, which is something Jesus calls us to, we actually have to be a disciple. So describe what a biblical disciple actually is.
Yeah, so a disciple is someone who is following after Christ and someone who is a learner. So it's this constant state of learning and growing as we seek to follow him, and how we do that in our regular everyday life. And so I always encourage people, we can't go out and ask someone to do something that we're not already doing. And so therefore, if I'm not reading my Bible, and if I'm not memorizing scripture, and if I'm not journaling the word, I can't expect other people to do those things. And I can't, you know, take them on a journey that I'm not on myself. And so that's what I mean when it's, we have to be a disciple first before we can lead others through that process.
And that is, you know, obvious if you read scripture, but it shouldn't be assumed when you look around. I mean, it's heartbreaking. And I say this carefully without any hint of judgment, more grief in my heart than anything. But I mean, even studies show that from a earthly perspective, the lines seem quite blurred between how Christians behave and addictions and habits and defaults compared to non-Christians. It's you know, I always say the lines aren't blurred in heaven. There's perfect clarity in heaven. But, you know, from this plane, it is alarming that there's not a fear of God like there used to be, or a reverence for his word, or where we're bothered by our sin. I don't know how we got here, but that is a reality right now, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And there was a study done not too long ago, I think by Lifeway, where it showed that 25% of, only 25% of church-going adults read their Bible. And that's 25% of people who would go to church regularly, only 25% would read their Bible. And of that was like they would only read 8 books of the Bible. So most likely the Gospels and then, you know, maybe some of the epistles. And I'm thinking, you know, our society and our world is really illiterate of the Bible today. And we're anemic when it comes to understanding and knowing God's whole story through his word. And so that's something I'm very passionate about. And I want others to be passionate about it as well. So I try my hardest to communicate that so that others will want to spend time in his word and be changed by it.
Mm. So in your experience, Candy, what has worked, what hasn't worked when it comes to discipleship? I mean, you said that in the book where so sometimes it's trial and error, just sort of finding your groove. What are some things that you thought would work that actually didn't work so well?
Yeah, I think one of the things that really stands out as far as, I haven't personally done this, but I have seen this done, is kind of when someone leads a little bit by intimidation. And that is not like an approach that you want to take when it comes to discipleship. It's really based on a love for the Lord, and then a love for those that you're walking alongside of. And so not trying to lead with a prideful personality at all, but coming from a gentle place of love, even though through that process, you may have to address like difficult things such as sin in someone's life. And obviously that would be bathed in prayer, but there's always a way to go about doing that where your ladies, or if you're a man and you're meeting with men, they leave feeling encouraged and not defeated or discouraged. And so that's something I think that, you know, you really have to pray through and walk through to to really love the people that God is allowing you to meet with and not leave them in a way that wouldn't be honoring to the Lord.
That's great. And what anything that's worked that's surprised you? I mean, approaches, perspective, you know, things that you wouldn't have thought worked, but they really become staples, mainstays in your process of discipleship.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of things, but one thing that's just kind of sticking out to me is when we share our testimonies with one another. There was a time like where we would share testimonies, and every year I feel like I'm growing in the area of discipleship. And we would, and initially we would kind of share testimonies at the end of a group time, and then it was kind of like it was time to go and leave. And I realized this is not really as beneficial as it could be, because if we did our testimonies maybe earlier on and then the rest of the group had time to encourage or even, you know, pray over the person who was sharing their testimony, it would be much more beneficial for all of us. And so that was kind of a change I made along the way, and just to enrich that time of sharing and testimony time. And it was something that we do every single group I have, we do it the same way. And it's really, I think if you ask a girl who's been through the discipleship process with me anyway, 9 times out of 10, she's going to say her favorite time was testimony time. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been really something that's changed along the way, but that the Lord has just really blessed as we, you know, kind of grow our bond together and share how he has changed our life.
Great. We're going to pause here talking to Candy Gallaty. Her book is titled, I just laughed because before the break, before we started the show today, we're talking about how to pronounce her last name. And I've interviewed her husband, Robbie, in the past, and he suggested to her, let's name one of our sons Lee so people remember it's legality. And thankfully, Candy stepped in and said, there will be no son named
that's
Lee.
Right.
Sorry, that was just funny to me, so that's why I giggled. Anyway, Candy Gallaty's written a beautiful book, Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and Wonder of God to Invest in Women. We've got a few copies to get into your hands. You know the drill. If you listen often enough, email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute.
Give me a whole heart to fully trust you. Give me enough.
I had to pull that old song out by Shannon Wexelberg, Give Me a Whole Heart to Fully Trust You. You know, the more that God does a deep healing work in our lives, the more we can impart his grace and his love to others. And talking to Candy Gallaty today about her book, Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and Wonder of God to Invest in Women. And I know we have many men who listen as well. Don't tune out, because the whole idea of discipleship is for all of us, right? God calls all of us to make disciples, to make followers. And, you know, this can be so intimidating, Candy. Both, you know, sometimes we confuse discipleship for praying the sinner's prayer with someone. These are two different things. Both, though, right, are very intimidating to most Christians. So talk about just the call of God, not only to lead people to Christ, but to nurture them in their faith.
Yeah, A lot of times I'll hear this, women will say, I can't make disciples. Like, I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say. And that's how really the subtitle of the book, you know, using the word, the work, and the wonder. And I have to encourage them that we can only invest the word of God into someone with that of which we know of it. So if we don't know it, therefore we can't pour it into someone. And the same thing goes with the work that God does in our life. You know, there's very specific and intentional things that the Lord does in each of our lives. And I try to tell the ladies this all the time, like, there's only one you, and there's unique situations that the Lord has allowed in your life. And those things are meant to be passed on. Those things are meant to be shared and not just kept inside of you for all of your life. Because granted, they are for you. He's done something and very specific for you, but it's also for the benefit of other people. And so are we stewarding well the things that God has allowed to happen in our lives and passing that on, investing that into other people? So when they think they don't have anything and they don't know what to do, I'd ask them to reflect back on their life. You know, think about what God has done and remind yourself of what he's done. And you're going to draw from that and you're going to use that as you walk alongside of others when it's, you know, when that time comes. And so that is something. And then obviously all of those, we do those things through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and depending on the Spirit for wisdom and knowledge and strength and all of those things. But a lot of times I hear that someone is unconfident. They're not, they don't think they can do this. And I'm like, you can do this. Number one, we're called to do it. We're commanded to do it. And so we want to obey the Lord, but you can actually do it way more than you believe you can.
Very, very good. As you follow Jesus through the Gospels, what did you learn from him regarding discipleship? What observations did you make, Candy?
Yeah, that has been a fascinating read and study where I just began to see things in Jesus's life where there was a rhythm to his life, and he did some things very regularly. And I thought, man, if he's doing these things regularly and, you know, I'm a follower of his, I need to be doing these things too. And I just went on this study of every time he would withdraw and get away to be with the Lord. He wanted to be with his Father. He wanted to spend time with him. And very often, the way he did that was either waking up early in the morning, where he would withdraw to a quiet and a deserted place because he wanted to be alone, and he would spend time with the Father, and he would pray. And over again, I began to see that in the Gospels, and sometimes the disciples would be with him, and sometimes he would be by himself. And even when he was by himself, most of the time, the disciples were going to look for him, and they would find him wherever he was, so they kind of knew where he would go. But he had this regular routine of his life where he would withdraw just to kind of detach from everything for a bit and spend time with his Father because that was his heart's desire. And I thought, man, do I have a desire like that? Like, am I seeking to regularly withdraw and be with the Lord and spend time in prayer and have that time with him like Jesus did? You know, Jesus is the Son of God, and yet he's withdrawing and being with the Father, you know, in solitude, and then also with his disciples. He brings the disciples with him, and they see him in this environment as well. And so that was just something that really began to just open my eyes that, you know, Jesus did this regularly.
And also you identified that he ministered to the masses, he ministered to the 12, and then he ministered to the 3. So there was times there was just intimacy in a little small group. There was times when it was sort of medium-sized group where he's teaching them, but still really personal application. And then the overall masses. And it's a great picture for all of us too, right? I mean, where there's different aspects and spheres of relationships that God calls us to.
Right. Absolutely. That's like even in our church, you know, we have the large gathering, which is our corporate worship service. We have life groups or small groups for some people, Sunday school for some people. And then we have, you know, bringing it on down even further from there and making it more, you know, a little smaller and more intimate is that group of like 3 to 6 that you would meet with. And, you know, with Jesus, he had 3, Peter, James, and John. And it's just, it brings it down a little bit so you can have accountability a little more. You can live life a little more intentionally and really experience, you know, a spiritual growth that you don't necessarily get to experience in the larger group gatherings, you know, in your life.
Well, let's talk for a moment about some of the other ways that Jesus must have surprised his disciples, because they followed him. They did life with him. Imagine, not only did they see him sneak away to be with the Father, but, you know, he led them out into a boat, which led them into a storm. He told them to feed the crowd. You know, you feed them. He flipped the tables. He talked about eating my flesh, drinking my blood. And then they were waiting to ascend to power to overthrow Rome, and he died on the cross. I mean, and maybe there's others for you that stand out, but I want you just to imagine through the disciples' eyes, this was not a conventional leader. I mean, what do you gather as you read scripture? And you've got a discipleship lens. That's clearly your call. But as you're reading scripture as to how he did life and what that must have been like for the disciples, what do you come up with?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that really pops into my head is that, you know, he didn't even have a place to lay his head. You know, he didn't have a regular home. You know, I mean, we know that he, you know, he made a home in Capernaum, but it's not like, you know, they traveled. They were on foot a lot. They were, you know, crossing Israel and going to different places. And, you know, he was ministering to them along the way, like through life and through scary situations and, you know, tough situations and happy situations and opportunities where they were able to feed, you know, thousands of people. And so it was every range of emotion and every lesson that could be learned, all as they were going through life together. I was even reading this morning in my quiet time, I'm reading a chronological plan and I'm reading an Acts, and Paul was in Corinth. And, you know, even Paul is talking about how he stayed 18 months, and it says that he was completely occupied with the word of God. He stayed in the city for 18 months, and he regularly taught them the word of God. And so he regularly went into the synagogue to reason with them. So he's witnessing, he's sharing, you know, through the scriptures about Jesus. And, you know, this was something that he did. So it was like we see this evangelism aspect and we see this discipleship aspect where he stayed with them for 18 months and he poured in the word because he was completely devoted to the word. And I just think that is so cool that we also see the lifestyle of Paul, you know, carrying out the Great Commission as he was supposed to.
Well, you know, I know you said a little bit earlier that everybody has a story and go there, look back at what God has done. But I would love for you to say a few words to that person who's intimidated, who says, okay, I've read in Scripture the commission, what Jesus said. I feel so ill-equipped. You know, I don't know the word like you obviously do, Candy, and I'm the, you know, people scare me. What kind of advice would you have for that person who's listening going, I don't even know where to start. I want to obey God. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah, my first response would be commit it to prayer. You know, make it a matter of prayer. You have a desire, you want to do this, and ask the Lord to kind of show and direct you with what to do. And while you're praying about that, I always encourage everybody to start with a Bible reading plan. Research and find a Bible reading plan that you want to commit to and start committing to that and reading your Bible regularly. We have a plan Robbie and I created. It's the F260, and it's a chronological plan. We have one that goes through the Old Testament and the New, and then we have just a New Testament plan, and it reads 5 out of 7 days. So, but I tell people all the time, you don't have to use our plan. You use any plan that your heart's desire, and just get into the Word and commit to that. And then what you will see is the more you do that, the more you want to do that. And if you really want to enhance that and make it effective, call and ask a few of your friends to like meet with you. And y'all do the same plan together and talk about what you're reading every week. Get together once a week, go have coffee, go have lunch, go work out, go on a walk. I mean, there's the opportunities are endless as far as how you get together with the girls that you want to do this with, but just journey together. And so it starts with prayer. And if someone's already got a desire, then the Lord's already working. You know, he's already pointing you in that direction. And many people don't know, maybe they don't know what to do. So then they're fearful of what to do. And so they don't do anything because they don't know what to do. And so just go out there and research a Bible reading plan, find one that you want to commit to. And I would just start reading, you know, today, start tomorrow morning, find a regular time you can meet with him. And for everybody that's different, you know, I'm a morning person. So for me, it's at 5 o'clock in the morning. My son is a night person. So for him, it's 8 o'clock at night. You know, you find what works for you and you commit to that every single day.
I love it. See, that's very doable, friend. Get a friend, determine your reading plan, and get together and talk about it. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will meet you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Middays, talking to Candy Gallaty about her book, Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and the Wonder of God to Invest in Women. Again, guys, I know you're getting stuff out of this, so hang with me. This conversation is for you as well. We'll talk more about what it means to disciple disciples and create disciples in just a moment. Welcome to Middays. I'm Suzy Larson. Really glad to have you listening today, talking to Candy Gallaty about her book, Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and Wonder of God to Invest in Women. And I said a few times, this show is also for men. We've got plenty of men who listen, talking about the importance of discipleship. Candy's just drawing from what she has learned as a discipler, as someone who has regular discipleship groups, with the intent of seeing these people who are in these groups turn into people who lead more groups, doing what, fulfilling the Great Commission, really. Love for you to talk about how you teach and help women develop just a regular devotional life, a regular time with the Lord. What does that look like?
Yeah, so what I'll do is I have all the ladies that first off that I ask to come into the group with me to pray about that, and I'll tell them what we're going to be doing together. So I'll say, hey, we're going to meet for the next 12 months. We're going to go through this reading plan. We're going to journal twice a week. We're going to memorize a scripture verse every single week, and we're going to all hold one another accountable to do this. And then I also read extra books in my groups, but that's not something like it's, I always tell the girls that part's optional. The other things are essential. We have to do these things. And so they pray about whether or not they want to commit to that. And if they do, we all sign that covenant. And then every single week when we get together, they have been reading on their own. They've picked a few different passages to journal on, and then we're all memorizing a verse of scripture. And so when we get together and we sit around the living room or wherever we're meeting that week, that's what we talk about. So we go around the room and we all say our verse to one another. And, you know, a lot of times memory verses is what really scares most people. And most people think they can't do it. And I've honestly, in the 15 years I've been doing this, I've never had someone who cannot memorize scripture, even though people will think I have a bad memory. And, you know, there are legitimate cases out there where people are, they do struggle with their memory. But I think a lot of times people think they're going to struggle and they haven't really tried yet. And then when they try, they realize, hey, I can do this. The Lord's helping me to do this. But we sit around that table and we say those verses to one another. And then we share those two passages that we've journaled on and how we can apply that to our life. And so that's what we're doing on a regular basis. And then when we get together, we're talking about that together and having dialogue about it. And that's what really just enhances the whole entire process, because we're all reading the same thing, but yet most of us are going to journal on something different. And that's the beauty of the word.
Mm. Boy, and it really does bring it deeper when you're doing life together, talking about the living word together. And just for the, you know, the record, even if you have a bad memory, nothing is better than memorizing scripture. Nothing will help you get your memory back. And friends know this. I battled Lyme disease in my early years as a mama. And it wiped out my short-term memory. It wrecked my brain. And what brought my brain back was scripture memorization. And what is amazing to me now is that people who don't know that part of my story who will say, wow, you're a command of scripture. You know, you have such a memory. To me, every time someone says something like that, it's like a victory flag in the ground going, if you only knew where I came from and how much I struggle to remember anything. But I think any brain needs scripture memory. It's living, active, powerful, and just the process of memorization is fantastic for your brain. Just a little plug there.
Absolutely. And I tell the girls, your brain's a muscle. So if you work it, it's going to work for you. You know, the more it's like practice makes perfect with anything, you know, or practice makes progress at least. And, you know, I think that when they really start doing it, they're like, oh my goodness, you know, this is amazing. And these people who've never memorized scripture before become memory machines. I mean, you can't stop them because they become so hungry to want to do that. And it's really, I mean, and these ladies are, you know, it's all ages. And my husband has seen it with men, you know, just all ages. And they just become really committed to doing these things. And the spiritual growth that these individuals experience is really what encourages our hearts as we, you know, continuously do that. We get to see and take people on that journey, and it's just so exciting. And you know that they're developing habits and discipline that they're going to have for the rest of their life once they start in this process. And that is what is just amazing to me, is to think that I had some small little part in really just obeying the Lord, but yet getting to take women on this journey and hopefully some of these things they're going to have for the rest of their life, you know, that's going to carry them through the good and the bad times.
Well, so often you hear people complain, I don't know how to hear God's voice. You want to heighten your capacity to hear God's voice, deepen his word in your heart, because then the Holy Spirit can so easily bring the word to mind because it's already in your heart. I mean, you think about how the person who's got more of the word hidden in their heart has just a heightened capacity to walk in the Holy Spirit, in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because it's already in us. I mean, it's such a powerful tool. I think when the day is done, we will wish we would have done that more, because it's such a powerful discipline.
Absolutely. And we encourage people all the time, even if, you know, if it's too overwhelming to, you know, just work on one verse, because you would rather stand before the Lord and have one verse that you've worked on for months, if you had to, committed to memory, you know. And so don't let fear of anything paralyze you and not, you know, propel you forward to actually be able to do some of these things, you know, like go for it, you know, and memorize. And it's not about, I tell people all the time, it's not about the quantity. I used to think we had to memorize, you know, all these verses, but I really want women, and my husband really wants the guys to, you know, retain these verses. Like we want them to be in long-term memory. It's not just about passing a test every week when we sit around with everybody and quote the verses. Like, I want to be able to recall these verses in my long-term memory at any point in time. And so it's not about the quantity. It's really, truly the quality and understanding. I feel like the more you understand the word and a verse or a passage that you're trying to memorize, the more you understand what it's saying, the more it flows in the brain, and I think you it's easier to memorize. Mm-hmm. So it's just something, you know, don't focus on the quantity of the memory verses that you need to memorize. Just pick a verse and go for it. And then when you're done with that one and you have it, go for another one. And then, you know, once a week, say the verses that you've memorized at least once a week, and you'll help to retain them in that way.
You know, I need to start again. I mean, I was some regular practice for a while, and I've got my little filled recipe cards full of scripture, and I just bought a brand new one. And just for full disclosure, I've just been realizing it's time to add new. I mean, like, I rehearse some of my old ones, but I've stopped. I haven't done that in a while, and I need to pick it back up again. I'm just saying that, friends. So how about you start as well? Well, you, Candy, mm-hmm. talk about this signing a covenant as they enter this group. So they're making a pledge and a commitment to regular Bible reading, to journaling, to memorizing scripture, to coming together. So what does accountability look like in that context? How do you do that?
Yeah, so every single week when we get together, those are the things we do. We chit-chat, we open up in prayer. You know, we see each other and we talk to each other a lot throughout the week. So when we get together for a discipleship group, it's not like the first time we're catching up all week long. We're in regular communication. So we don't have to sit and, like, necessarily go over a lot of prayer requests and things like that, because we all know what's going on in each other's lives throughout, you know, every day. But when we get together, we chit-chat for a bit and we'll open up in prayer, and then we'll just go around the room and one of us will start and we'll say our verses. And we're all memorizing right now. Most of us are memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. Those are like the verse options that go along with our reading plan. And so those passages become a little longer, and so it takes up much more time, and we're trying to respect everybody's time. So we won't necessarily, you know, I think I'm on verse 20 right now, so I'm not going to sit and say all 20 verses and then every girl do that, because it's going to take too long. So we normally video, like we have a little video app that we will record ourselves doing the verses, and we send it out to each other before group. And then when we get together, we're really truly sharing what we've journaled on. That's the bulk of our discussion. And we're talking about how we can apply that to our life. That's what we're doing when we get together. And then, you know, we'll wrap up with that. And if we're reading a book together at that time, we'll discuss a chapter of the book that we're reading and just kind of dialogue about that. And then we'll normally, you know, close in prayer. And that's kind of what our weekly discipleship meeting looks like.
In the book, you tell a story, Candy, about a gal who, I think during over lunch, she was in your D group, one of your discipleship groups, but over lunch she confessed that she was having an affair with a married man. Wow. I mean, you're going to run into stuff like this. So if you don't mind, as much as you're able to talk about how that story played out, what God led you to do, how you handled it.
Yeah. So she had come to me, and after the relationship was over, so I didn't have any idea this was going on, and we were only a couple of months into our group. And she had gone through a tragedy in her life, and so it was a very difficult time for her anyway. And, you know, she was very vulnerable, and so the situation occurs, and then the relationship ends, and so she comes to me, and she tells me about it. And I said, well, you know, I was so thankful that she had confided in me, and we prayed about it, and I told her, you know, to go home, spend time with the Lord, repent, and that we were going to move forward on this. And, you know, what ended up happening is we found ourselves in a similar situation a couple of months after that. And at that point, I said, you know, we really need to help you kind of experience some victory in this area of your life. And so I, you know, had to kind of just keep up with her and ask her some difficult questions along the way. And one of the questions was she being intimate with the person that she was seeing at the time? And her answer was yes. So she was honest with me. And I said, we really have to meet. I was actually out of town at that point in time. And I said, we really have to meet when I get back in town. So I prayed and prayed, just, you know, asked the Lord to use some scripture, to use some words that I could, like, give her that would really encourage her. But I knew she couldn't continue in the discipleship group if she was going to continue in habitual sin. And so that was the meeting we had to have. And I just shared with her, you know, through tears, I love her. And I'm like, I really want the Lord to bless you and honor your relationships, and I can tell you that he's not doing, that's not going to happen right now. And I just asked her to, number one, was to abstain. And if that meant not dating anybody or whatever that meant from her, I needed her to commit to that. And I wanted her to come and confess to the group so that they could all be praying for her. And, you know, she chose not to do that. And I understood that because I knew that would be an extremely hard thing to do. But I said, I can't help you. I can't take you on this journey with the Lord if you're knowingly participating in sin like this regularly. I mean, and so she, you know, decided to get out of the group. And then a couple of months after that, she came back to me, and the Lord had really been working in her life, had given her a lot of scriptures, a couple of them specifically out of Proverbs about wise counsel and how that's needed in someone's life. And she said the biggest mistake she had made was not coming back to the discipleship group. And so she asked me if she could come back. And that it had been a couple of months, and I did allow her to come back, but, you know, I told her that we had signed a covenant together where we had committed not only to one another, but to the girls in the group. And we ultimately, you know, we're committing to God for this. And I said, so you owe it to these girls to tell them what happened in your life. And so she did. She came back and she shared what was going on. She didn't have to share all the details, but she gave the picture of what was going on. And then at that point, we were all able to rally around her and just pray with her and, you know, hold her accountable to what she was saying, I need to be held accountable for. And so that, I mean, that's a hard situation, and you don't necessarily get that situation every single time you have a discipleship group, but in some cases you do. You know, you do have to deal with sin that comes up or that they confess to you or that you, you know, sense is maybe going on. And so really those situations, it comes down to you as a leader praying and interceding for them and also just being obedient to what you feel like the Lord is calling you to do. And you know, each and every situation is different. And so really praying through that is crucial.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to ask you to talk about, you know, what happens when you encounter resistance, maybe an unteachable spirit, like maybe you start to step on toes, what you do in discipleship and growth. Iron sharpens iron. There's going to be times where someone goes this far, no more. And this is the stuff I think that makes people shy away from. I don't want conflict. I don't want to get in anybody else's business, but you kind of have to when you're walking in these discipleship groups. How do you navigate that if you encounter an unteachable spirit, someone who's maybe highly offendable? And then we'll talk a little bit more about how to walk this out amidst really something the enemy hates but that God loves. Talking to Candy Gallaty. Her book is Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and the Wonder of God to Invest in Women. Back in a minute. I love that song. Not today, devil. We're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to stand in faith. We're going to teach his word. We're going to disciple disciples and make disciples of men as Jesus called us to. I'm Susie Larson. This is Middays, talking to pastor's wife and co-minister Candy Gallaty. Her book is titled Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and the Wonder of God to Invest in Women. And I want to ask you before the break just to think about how do you handle, and you've done this for a long time, when you encounter resistance, an unteachable spirit, maybe somebody's highly offendable. So they start out excited. They're kind of like the soil where the plant sprouts immediately, but there's not a lot of depth. And as soon as you start to maybe push for a deeper commitment with the Lord, you start to encounter resistance. What do you do? And maybe you can even share a story from an experience.
Yeah, so what I always suggest is when you're coming up with any sort of like resistance or possibly someone that's just being lazy or not wanting to do the things that y'all have committed to, I always encourage like a one-on-one meeting with that person. And obviously praying first and then asking this person to meet you, whether it's for lunch or coffee. And my approach is always, how can I help you? Like, is there something I can help you do? Like, you know, it could be as far as something as small as managing their time in order to be able to fit in some of the things that we're doing to anything from it's not even a priority. You know, there could be many reasons why someone is either not being teachable or being resistant for some reason or just being lazy. And so I always encourage a one-on-one, approaching that with gentleness and love. But, hey, you know, you've signed the covenant. I've signed the covenant. This is something that you wanted. And so how can I help you move past this hurdle or, you know, not get so offended or whatever the case may be? So I've had to have conversations like that where, you know, someone's just basically showing up, but yet they're not really contributing to the group. And you really, truly grow as a unit. You are all like growing together. And if one of you kind of stops and that's obvious to the group, it affects the whole entire group. So not only do I owe it to this one person, I owe it to our whole entire group to kind of try to see what's going on and if there's something that I can do to help them or if this is just not the season for them to be involved in the discipleship group for whatever reason. And that there could be cases of that where, you know, someone needs in-depth counseling of some sort. Or, you know, someone has so much going on in their life, they're just overwhelmed and they just need a season where it's just them and the Lord. So there are different reasons and different ways this plays out. But I have had to have a conversation once with a lady who just wasn't doing the things anymore. She wasn't journaling. She wasn't reading the Bible. And the reason I knew that was because when we reviewed scripture memory verses after months of review, she didn't have any of them done. And I just thought, well, man, if she had tried this at all, she would have had some of them. So, like, what's going on? And, you know, I told her, we're at the end of the group. Like, we have a couple of months left. But if this is not doing anything for you, then there's really no point in you meeting with us every week. Like, I want you to meet. I love you. I want to help you. I want to be there and do whatever I can and whatever the Lord's leading me to do. But you have to be willing to do those things, too. And if there's something else I need to help you with, like get you plugged in somewhere else, I can do that, but it's just kind of having that one-on-one conversation, bringing it up, and then kind of seeing where it goes from there. And, you know, in my particular situation, that individual knew that she had not been trying for a little bit, and she wanted to turn that around and finish strong, and she totally did. It just took us kind of, you know, having a one-on-one and saying, hey, what's going on? Like, let's regroup here. And then sometimes I encourage leaders to have the group recommit. Like if they're meeting for longer than a year, they're going to be going for 18 months. Like remind the group, hey, this is what we signed on in the beginning for. And let's, you know, keep going strong and have them even re-sign the covenant. But occasionally you'll have someone, I know my husband has had to ask at one point someone to leave the group who just was very unteachable and just totally would monopolize the time that they would spend together. And just talk the whole time, and nobody else was really getting to share. And so after a few meetings, it was like, this might not be the best group for you and for what you need right now in your life. And that person, you know, ended up not coming back to his group. So I think it's not as often as we would think that happens, but it does. You know, you will come up with those types of situations, and we have to pray it through and just obey the Lord, whatever he's calling us to do. But in the event that you ever have to ask somebody to leave a group because they're not, you know, doing what we've all committed to, I always try to find out what that person needs next. And you know, point them in some sort of direction and keep them plugged in some way, shape, or form, like in the church or whatever may be, you know, whatever they may need in their life, as much as I can help them, you know, point them in that right direction.
It just shows how gracious you have been, Candy, and have had to be. I mean, this is not for sissies, truly. I mean, I appreciate this. You said, I'm not going to lie or act like there aren't times when I feel frustration bubbling up inside of me. But it's, you know, I'm sure it's had a sanctifying effect on you because you have to go the extra mile. I think every leader in the church has to absorb so much, has to extend so much grace. You know, and that's one of the things I appreciate about pastors and their wives and their families, is people don't even know how much they have to absorb because of highly offendable, nitpicky people, people who are inconsistent or whatever. They have to absorb so much, but they do it for the sake of the flock. And so the person who does so with continual humility and grace, I don't know, is to be applauded. And I just want to applaud you in that because that's not a small thing.
Well, thank you, Susie. I appreciate that. It's a joy and an honor for me, you know, just to be able to walk alongside others and I really, truly, at the heart of it, just want to help people to know the Lord better. And he's been so good to me. And I totally don't deserve his goodness and his grace and his love in my life. And so I really just want to live the rest of my days doing that, and with women, whoever, you know, he would allow me to be able to do that with.
Well, a couple of last questions before we wrap and pray. Obviously, the enemy hates what you're doing. And are you able to just share what kind of opposition warfare that you've encountered and how you've navigated that territory?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I always give, you know, way more credit to the Lord because he's so victorious, you know, over Satan. And I really feel like the more I stay grounded in his word, he is truly, by his spirit, going to lead us through those, you know, uncharted territories and spiritual warfare and that sort of thing. And, you know, we have experienced that over the years, and sometimes it's been very difficult seasons. But through that, it has brought, you know, our marriage stronger and the ministry so much sweeter because, you know, we know without a shadow of a doubt that what we are called to do, and we're going to do that. And so anything that we come up against, because we are assured 100% in our calling, it helps us as we navigate spiritual warfare. And it all comes down to being more in the word and more in prayer and more on our faces before him in order to get through those things. And I mean, that could be, I mean, we've received, I mean, this was years ago, but we've received death threats. We've received things against our children, you know, things against us, whether that's from Robbie's preaching or, you know, whatever the case may be. And at the end of the day, you truly have to trust Jesus. You have to trust in him more than you trust in any ministry, any person, any man. You trust in him. And I rest in that. Because I trust him, I can rest in whatever he is guiding me through. And, you know, Robbie and I do that together, and we truly, you know, hang on to one another as we go through those difficult times. And, you know, I was just talking to a friend at lunch, and we were talking about how those seasons of suffering, if we could just learn to rejoice in them, you know, we will see the glory of the Lord. And I believe that's true, like even for spiritual warfare, you know, we're going to go through that, and just to see the Lord's hand and to rest in him and to follow after him no matter what.
Well, I appreciate that. And friends, if you're feeling called to disciple, this is like a handbook. It will give you so many tangible steps to what to take if you want to take some next steps. And as we're getting ready, I'm wondering, Candy, if you'd pray for that person listening today who's maybe feeling their heartbeat a little fast, going, this is the next step. I'm going to get some friends together. We're going to start going through the scriptures together. I'm upping my game. Would you pray for that person listening today?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time that we've had together on this program and just getting to speak about you and your word and how you change lives, Lord. And I pray for the women that are listening. I pray for the men that are listening, Lord, that you're laying on their heart, this is what I'm calling you to do. Like, this is it. It's discipleship. It's investing your life into others. And I pray, Lord, that you will put people in their path, that people will even come to them and say, this has been on my heart too. And I pray that you would direct them to how to read your word. Like, what plan should they use, Lord Jesus? Direct them to a reading plan that they can just sit and soak and to learn your word, and then to be able to not be afraid, not be hesitant or ashamed, but to get together with friends that they can have healthy conversation about this and truly learn to live life together. And not just, you know, we talk all the time, Lord, everybody can give a gospel pitch. Everybody can share the gospel with a lost person, but can we share our lives? And so I pray, Lord, that you would direct these ladies and these men on exactly how to do that and who to do it with. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Candy, I pray we can meet face-to-face. Love to hug your neck. Thank you for what you're doing in the kingdom, and please greet your hubby for us as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Susie.
Great conversation. Candy Gallaty, everyone. Her book is titled Disciple Her, Using the Word, Work, and Wonder of God to Invest in Women. We've got a few copies, so email if you want in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. Really pray you found some encouragement here today, helping you to stand strong in your walk of faith, walk intimately with God, and trust his word. I want to give a special shout out to my amazing producers, Kim Sanders and Carissa Rogers. Thank you for the work you do every single day, and thank you for tuning in. I want you to walk intimately with the Lord. Jesus wants you to walk intimately with him. Why? Because it's possible for him to fail you. He is good. His promises are true. He'll always make a way for you. Meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can give a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.